Thankful to be able to be here today. Thankful to see this blessing that we have here to be able to meet at 4 o'clock and to see this many people here. What a blessing, isn't it? And thankful for that. And I pray the Lord will bless us to be able to take advantage of the early time in the future and to be able to do this also. And especially those with children. Anyhow, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This portion of Scripture has been on my mind for some time now, and I've enjoyed the study that I've had in this, and think it teaches us a lot of what is going on in today's society. We have a tendency nowadays to look to the follower of Christ more than Christ himself. I wrote an article here recently and put it out on Facebook, and we need to follow the ultimate one who is the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There's nothing wrong with the followers. We need to be grateful for followers, don't we? We need to be thankful for those that follow. We need to be thankful for those that try to serve the Lord with what light they do have to the best of their ability. Not everybody has all the light that we've been blessed to have in the Primitive Baptists. We've been very, very blessed with a great deal of light on the truth that a lot does not have. And yet, sometimes it feels like sometimes among God's people, it just, you know, one's going here, one's going there. I want us to look in verse 11 in 1 Corinthians. Notice it says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." This portion I want us to think about, that when he's talking about I of Paul, this is Paul writing here. Think about how that may feel for the writer, for the minister of the gospel having to address this very subject. A lot of things you've got to understand with the Corinth church is the Corinth was a church and had a ton of problems. Most people would have probably written that church off this day and time and said, "Hey, we're through with you. We're done with you. God's removed the candlestick." But God was not done with this church. God was merciful to this church and blessed one of the greatest ministers of the gospel ever. The only greater is Jesus Christ himself. He was so blessed and he suffered so much for God's people. Apostle Paul to go and labor with these people. You also find with the other apostles that they also labored in places where you think, well, the Lord had just written them off. I'm thankful God hasn't just written us off and God's mercy and grace abounds, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. Notice how Paul started the very first of that chapter. He starts it off teaching about the grace of God and the grace of God alone. He doesn't go in with a ramrod, ramrodding through the church like a bull in a china shop. He's speaking and preaching the grace of the living God. And he shows the great love of God. When he gets there and he shows that some say that I am Paul and I am Apollos. You remember how Apollos came along, and Apollos is well with speech, where Paul's roughshod and straightforward to the punch. But you see there that also he says, "And I of Cephas," which is Peter. We know that Peter there is well looked upon by the Jews because Peter was there, walked with the Lord, talked with the Lord, learned a lot with the Lord. How often have you looked back at how Peter exercised his faith greatly unto God's people and with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yet he made an absolute terrible mess of himself, done things that you'd probably say, "I wouldn't do that. Don't speak too soon." We just like Peter, ain't we? But they're over here saying, "I am of Cephas," and one saying, "I of Christ." I had a wonderful, interesting conversation with Brother Carl Staten this weekend at the meeting that I was at, and I thought it was absolutely interesting what he was talking about, how that, you know, those groups of large families that they would be on television without mentioning names and getting in trouble with that. But anyhow, they would come to his church, they would learn, and then they would go away. They would never come back. And he found out it was because they felt that they were following Christ, and part of following that Christ is that they were able to have home worship and the father be the pastor, and they didn't have to have an organized service. Very dangerous. Yet they say they're of Christ. You getting the picture? What does it say right here below this? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. How often, my dear friends, has people celebrated baptism in such a way that it was like, hey, they get to go to glory because they were baptized. I thank God that it's not based upon our action, our obedience unto God in baptism that gets us unto glory, because our just as sure as we do something right, we're going to do 10 things wrong. Because that's our natural nature. That's depravity, the law of sin and death. That's the way we are naturally. We're going to do something wrong. And just an evil thought would send us straight to hell. But thanks be to God for grace, because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who lived the perfect and upright life, who lived in such a way that he crossed every T, dotted every I, kept the law to every jot and the tittle, and kept in such a way that no man could. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was spotless. And when he was offered up, he offered himself up on the cross at Calvary. He went obediently. When he was there, he bled and he died for our sakes. It wasn't that man had taken him by force and was cruel to him. They were cruel, but he laid himself down for our sake because he did it, because he knew that was the only way to redeem us, his children. Isn't that great? He was the great atonement. Now, I want you to think what he's saying here. He said there in verse 13, he says, is Christ divided? Even though that you've got some, here's Apostle Paul, here's Apollos, here's Cephas, which is Peter, here's Christ Jesus, which is our Lord, they're all divided and they're going all different ways. Does that mean that they're no longer children of God because they're divided? Absolutely, God forbid. It means that Apostle Paul's having to tell them here, he says, hey, look, you've been divided. Is Christ divided? Christ ain't divided. He's trying to make them think about something here. How often has somebody served Christ and they said they were serving Christ, yet they preached not the doctrine, they kept not the practice of the New Testament church, which Jesus Christ laid out. People will say they're Christians, they're following Christ, yet the very thing that they're reading is a perversion of Scripture and is not a sound truth. My dear friends, how serious and how important it is that we read the Word of God in its whole and rightly divide the Word of God, rightly dividing and understanding what is right and what is wrong. You see? If they were believing as they ought to have been believing in the Lord, they would have been following after those things properly and obediently and being and doing what is right. And they wouldn't have been so divided. He says, Paul crucified. For Paul wasn't crucified. Jesus was crucified. Now I want you to think about over there in Colossians chapter 3 when it talks about them where there's neither Jew nor Greek, Nor circumcised, uncircumcised, Scythian, barbarian, bond or free, all's Christ and in Christ. How is that? Because of grace. There is not because of just, hey, I'm from over here in the Jews. This is where the church was originally. It's not just because the Gentiles is over here saying, hey, well, the Lord got tired of the Jews. He took the church and brought it over unto us. In Romans, it teaches us not to boast. Hey, not to boast, or it could be taken away from us, in other words. If we're over here saying, hey, we got it all that and a box of cookies, we know what it was all, and hey, this is the church, we're part of the church, and you're boasting that everybody is just so sorry and pathetic except you because you're Orthodox or whatever you are, PB, you've got a bad attitude. But if you've got the attitude of, hey, I'm thankful that God has blessed me with the light and the truth, and you're humble about it, it's not that you're not supposed to be thankful that God's blessed you to be where you are. It's that you're not to boast and be proud about it, that you're saying, hey, I'm better than you. We're sinners. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ. And when Apostle Paul is addressing this situation here with the Corinthian church, he first straightens out some things when it comes down to doctrinal things to get them on the same page. What is the same page? What's the common denominator? What's the common thread? What is the bridge that binds us together? It's the doctrine of salvation by grace and grace alone. It's the love of God that he has for his children. It's not based upon how perfect you are. It's not based upon how well you understand. It's not based upon how intelligent you are. It's not based upon how dumb you can be. There's some that celebrate being dumb. It's based upon the grace of God. And when we understand the grace of God, let's learn about the grace of God and rightly divide the word of truth and understand it, and we can appreciate what he's done for us and be thankful in it. And then we're able to understand, that's why he started off the chapter the way he does and then goes into that and shows who is stating, hey, there are contentions among you. That's pretty bad when you've got people over here that may be out of the church, may be in the church, that's recognizing some things, or even just the community. Imagine walking into the Milton community. They're saying, hey, this whole PB church and this PB church or this church and that church, they've got a lot of contentions going on. That's pretty bad, ain't it? And Apostle Paul is noticing it, and he's called it out. He's an apostle. He's got some authority us ministers today doesn't have. But he calls this thing out, and he just lays it on them. That you're divided. You're divided between this man, this man. You're putting these people up on pedestals today instead of looking unto Jesus Christ, and even them that is over here saying they're of Christ, they're not doing it right. They're still divided. He didn't separate them from the rest of them. He said, you're divided. And how often have we been so divided because of whatever it is that we're looking at is unto man and not unto God. Not rightly dividing the word of truth, not looking unto the word of God for the answers, not exercising godliness, not doing what we're supposed to do, but looking unto man for the answers. I know these ministers here wouldn't want you looking at them because guess what? That just means we're going to fail you. And Christ don't fail us, you see. Today we have and live in a society that when a man does good and suffers persecution, man lifts them up higher than Jesus Christ. You can't lift the man up higher than Jesus Christ, but in man's mind you can. In man's mind you can. That's sad, isn't it? Is that seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Is that honoring and glorifying God? Is that looking unto God as the author and finisher of our faith? Is that looking unto Jesus, who is that author and finisher of our faith, and understanding, hey, he's who we need to lift high and worship? Remember that in the Mount of Transfiguration, in which Peter was doing one of his dumb acts and thinking, hey, let's do something good here, just like any of us. God the Father says, he removes the others and he speaks, this is my son, hear ye him. Are we hearing Jesus? Are we hearing what we want to hear, and we hearing the man? Are we hearing what it is Because each one of these men that is listed here, this is what's unbelievable. You've got one that's rough and straightforward. You've got one that's smooth at speech and well presented. You've got one that's an orthodox. You've got one that's over here doing this home thing, you know, and trying to be self-righteous. And you see what I'm saying? Well, that's what we got a lot of today. And they say that we're about Christ, yet they're not going about it right. My dear friends, neither one of them that are doing wrong is not children of God, but they're children of God doing wrong. How often do we need to get to the point where we're on our knees looking unto the Lord and we're in the house of God hearing the gospel truth being proclaimed, looking unto God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, understanding and rightly dividing the word of truth. I want us to look over here and verse 21. Notice here it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Did believing save them to eternal salvation? Absolutely not. This salvation is a here and now timely salvation. The fact that a person could believe, it's the fact that God's already done a mighty work inside of them, has quickened them by the Holy Spirit. They have been born again by the Holy Spirit, blessed with spiritual life, saved by grace and grace alone. The person that's been born again has been made alive in Christ. Dead man can't ask for anything. Dead man can't ask for food, can't ask for drink, can't ask for breath, can't ask for life. Dead man's dead. But one that's alive in Christ, that has that spiritual walk, spiritual talk, spiritual ears, spiritual mouth, is able to speak spiritual things, see spiritual things, hear spiritual things, because spiritual life's in him. He's been born again. But when he believes, that's because he has that spiritual life inside of him and is able to believe those spiritual things that he hears or sees and understands. And now that he's got this spiritual life, let me tell you, how beautiful is it that the word of God tells us here, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." See, the wisdom of this world doesn't understand the things of God, doesn't understand the wisdom of God. There's a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And we need to discern between those two. It pleased God by the foolishness. Is preaching foolish? No, it's not. Not to the believer, not to a child of grace. To the world, it's foolishness because they cannot understand the things of God. They're not spiritually discerned. You see, they don't understand those things. But a child of grace, see, we can't go out here and we can't say, "Hey, he's a child of grace, she's a child of grace. He's not a child of grace, he's not a child of grace." Only God knows that. You go out into this world and you see the fruit of the Spirit and you see somebody exercising the fruit of the Spirit, it just verifies that there's spiritual life inside of them. One fruit has many characteristics. And when Galatians 5, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is singular, there's many characteristics of that singular fruit. And we can rejoice when we see that fruit of the Spirit. We're able to rejoice that there's spiritual life there. And how often, my friends, have we been in a place where God has blessed us to be able to see a child of grace because we see the fruit of the Spirit and you think, well, they're not living just right. Well, he or she is maybe a child of grace. Be thankful. Are you being the light of the world that you need to be? Are you letting your light so shine they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Which is it? How is it? Notice this. Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say to save them that do. He didn't say to save them that have Sunday school, to save them that have trunk or treat that people are having this day and time and this season. Didn't say save them that go to all measuring lengths in this earth to do something to get people to come. Didn't say that. is talking about the preaching of the gospel. Spiritual honey. Honey in the rock, as in Psalms 81. It's talking about the word of God that is being proclaimed. The gospel being preached. Is that satisfying unto you? Is that good for you? Is God's food, spiritual food, good for you? Because if it is, if you're believing in what God has done for you, if you believe what God has done for you, blessed you with, and has given you in the New Testament church, you're going to be satisfied and you're going to be thankful and you're going to be willing to live after the things that you believe. You look today, many believe in theology. Many believe in no theology. Many believe in society. Many believe in their college education. Many believe in their work, their curriculum, whatever it is in life that they believe in. What do you believe in? I pray to God it's Jesus Christ. I pray to God it's our Heavenly Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they three be one. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You're quenching the Holy Spirit if you believe in anything other than Jesus Christ. When you hear the preaching of the gospel in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, when you hear the word of God proclaimed, when you hear His word being proclaimed and brought forth, and that spiritual word given and that spiritual food given for you to be able to feast upon, and you're believing in what God has for you, guess what? You're not going to fail. You say, I have terrible trouble because I follow the Lord. Well, guess what? This is not our home. We're pilgrims in a strange land. Have you ever seen a pilgrim in a strange land? It doesn't always go their way. But we have a Heavenly Father who is able to take care of you, to provide for you, to help you, bless you with all your needs that you have. And that is not predestination of all things. That's God's providence. He's providing for you because He loves you. He adores you. How often have you provided for your children? Because you love them, you care for them, and you want to do the best for them. Brothers and sisters, he's telling Corinth Church, hey, look, you've been divided. Let me tell you how not to be divided. Let me tell you what that common denominator is. And instead of looking at these men and separating yourselves, saying, I'm of this, I honor that, and I honor that. Let's be one in the Lord. Let's look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's look unto Him and what He's done. These men are messengers. We should celebrate and be thankful for what God has sent us. Well, He sent us different gifts. Not to serve them, not to worship them, but to worship the living God who blessed us with them, and be thankful for the messenger He sent us. And to give God all the glory. Thank you for your time, your kind, sweet attention. Continue. Keep Brother Bryce in your prayers. Amen.